Hello and welcome to News to Reviews, normally your place to be for gaming news stories and impressions on the latest games, but not this time.
Which it is.
Oh no.
Well, I mean, it's not the news, but the other part, yeah.
We are doing impressions, yes, I guess so.
What are we doing here again?
We have a bonus episode for y'all. We're going to be talking about everything spoilers in Spider-Man 2. That's right. If you haven't played Spider-Man 2 and finished the story and all the things in it, just you've been warned.
I haven't done that last one, but we'll get over it.
Yeah, poor Sammy, you're going to be getting some spoiling happening in this episode. But before we get into this spoiler episode, I've got to introduce this awesome couple of peeps that I have here with me to do this spoiler episode. First off, we have Anthony filling in for Lockie. Thanks for filling in so much over this year, Anthony. You're an absolute legend, picking up the slack when Lockie can't make it. It's always a good time getting you on the show. Anthony, from What Do You Think About This? How's it going?
It's going really well. I am the black suit Lockie. I'm slowly taking over. Eventually, where Lockie starts and I finish will be indiscernible. It'll just be like, it's the same Mobius being at this point.
That works out well, because I'm sure Aaron will be very happy to be anti-Venom in this whole situation here. So, I like what you're doing. And you know what else? Another person that I like what they do. Oh, dear me, this is a bonus episode. So the intro music that you heard at the start of this episode was created by Pyrite Music, which is the wonderful person we have on this podcast guesting with us, Sammy Deej from Pyrite Music. How's it going?
How you doing? I'm doing good. Very exciting. So who am I then? Because
Miles?
I'm going to be the Joker, babe. Wait, so you're Miles and I'm Miles? Wait, how is this? Or are you this black suit Spider-Man
I'm
Miles?
I'm black suit Spider-Man, yes.
Okay.
That's how this works.
So does that mean that I get to wear your skin, or?
At some point, yes.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh. God.
I feel like that's how it works, right?
Buy a fella dinner first. Jeez. Ooh. All right.
He's the one who insisted.
I'm not just a bag of meat. I mean, I literally am, but I'm not just a bag of meat.
You're a bag of meat with spider powers.
Sammy, thank you so much for being here. For like peeps at home, this will obviously come out on a different day, so it will be different for you. But we already recorded a two-hour episode of News to Reviews, or a nearly two-hour episode of News to Reviews, just a couple of hours ago. So I very much appreciate you jumping back on again to talk about all things Spider-Man 2.
I'm making up for the 2 weeks of podcasts that I don't get to have. I'm just going to keep doing bonus episodes that'll be like I never left.
Oh, there you go. Sammy Deej, please remind the peeps where they can find the things that you create and then put onto the internet.
You can find my stuff. I make music under the name Pyrite, P-Y-R-I-T-E. That is also Pyrite _ music on Twitter, but you could find Pyrite if you just look on Spotify, iTunes, whatever. And just my regular Twitter is Sammy Deej, SammyDeege, but you should also just check out the Inconsolables Discord, because I spend a lot more time over there, even though the podcast is over, so do that.
Oh yeah, you'll be able to find all of Sammy Deej's links in the description of the podcast, as well as all of Anthony's links for What Do You Think About This. Tell
Hell
the folks where they can find it, Anthony.
As people know at this point, you can find us where all good podcasts are sold, on your Spotify, your Amazon, your Apple, wherever you go. You can also hit us up on, WDYTATpod at Twitter. Hit us up if you want to be on an episode, or if you want us to be on one of your episodes, or just want to chat. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just hit us up, see what happens. We need a topic, please.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Well, Halloween just ended, so I guess maybe we have to do like Christmas movies as the next big thing.
Just Hallmark Christmas movies.
Yeah.
And just
Thanksgiving movies.
All two of them? I feel like I know exactly two.
Yeah. Is there any like National Cookie Day movies or anything like that that's in November?
Peeps.
Probably is.
Ooh, I should mention before, I was about to jump into it, but I should mention before I do, this will be coming out still during the month of November. I'm probably going to release this the same week as the normal episode.
We'll see.
I'm not sure where I'll be in my Movember adventure, but I know I will still be taking donations, and yeah, I'm sure I'll probably get this out this week, so you'll still be able to vote on what disgusting and ugly moustache I go with. How shall I torture my poor girlfriend who's going to have to look at me all month with this terrible moustache? There's four different options there. You don't have to sign up or do anything in order to vote.
But
just click on the link. Give
you
us a vote.
Donate.
Yes, and if you can afford to, please donate to our Movember fundraising campaign. You'll be able to find the link in the description of the podcast down below, as well as the link to go and vote on what moustache I get. Movember is a fantastic cause, and it's a cause that's near and dear to my heart as it deals with mental health and suicide prevention. Any little amount can help. Please, if you can, help out. But it's time to help you out, peeps. Peeps who have finished Spider-Man 2 and just keen to get into the discussion and the minutiae of all the little nitty and gritty parts of this awesome, awesome Insomniac Sony first party title. I don't even know where to begin. Maybe I guess we begin at the start. I don't think I mentioned it on the podcast, even though it is in the first 5 minutes of the game, but holy shit, we start off with the set piece of Sandman. Semi Deej, kick us off. What did you think of that, the way the game kicks off?
I mean, I thought it was pretty crazy, pretty fun. I was a little annoyed that I was just like, oh, one of my favorite Spider-Man characters, and then they just like, it's over. Once the tutorials, I was like, damn it. But it was like a pretty exciting little set piece to kind of kick things off. It was kind of cool to have that element. You know, like you then kind of go through the rest of the game, and every time you're in that area, like, oh yeah, that's the Sandman place kind of thing. Ooh. You know, so it's nice in a way that it kind of, you know, visually earmarks like, oh, you're in this version of New York. So I thought it was pretty cool. And, it does a good job of tutorializing and such. You know.
Oh yeah, cool. It does. Do you enjoy it, Anthony?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was it's a good thing I played on a day off from work when no one's around, because I definitely would have been getting noise complaints from how much I was going like, ah! Like constantly. Like every time something would get introduced, I was like, ah! Just, oh, it's so much fun. It's such a great set piece because I mean, we did a media blackout, but as far as I'm aware, that wasn't in any of the trailers. They didn't highlight Sandman or this opening scene at all, which I don't think they did for the first game either, but the opening fight in the first game I don't think is as insane as this. This is such an insane set piece, and like the back and forth with Miles and Peter, and yeah, obviously just everything about the whole set piece was amazing. And just such a great way to start off the game. It really does set you up to get your hopes very high for the game that's about to happen, because it's just such a great, like, just starting set piece and just, duh.
Yeah, I was expecting something cool. Like, at the start of most games, and particularly the Insomniac Spider-Man games, they try to throw a cool set piece at the beginning to get you invested and get you excited about the story. But even then, it just completely blew me away. You know, the way you're jumping back and forth between Peter and Miles, the way Miles gets fucking yeeted by the Sandman, it was just like Insomniac flexing
so good.
How fast you can fly through the city with shit still looking crisp and with very little pop in and no frame drops or anything. It was my jaw was on the floor watching Miles just get yeeted like through a building and cross like multiple city blocks, and then just the momentum and the way he lands into the sort of spring thing where they the web catapult thing and gets yeeted all the way back across really right up to where Sandman is was just absolutely incredible. And I've got to say, unfortunately for me, even though I didn't watch any of the trailers, it was media blackout, so I'm not aware if he was in the most recent trailers, but I muted Spider-Man and like a few variations of Spider-Man 2 on Twitter, yet I still got spoiled with this moment a mere couple of days before the game came out, which I was super pissed off about.
I think it was like the Thursday morning or something. You sent a message like, fuck.
Yeah, I nearly made it. I thought I did everything right, but they indicted me. It sucks. It really, really sucks. But yeah, what a way to kick off the game. And I thought they weren't going to be able to top it. I thought, you know, like they're blowing their load early. But for me, as far as the rest of the set pieces were concerned, I feel like they kept it at an 11. Like the holy shit, the Black Cat sequence,
where Black Cat just rocks up
out of almost nowhere, like, you know, briefly teased in the previous mission or whatever, and she's fucking around with portals that she steals from Doctor Strange's Wonder Emporium or whatever it's like called.
I think like when they were introduced, they're like, Black Cat sneaking around, she's got the, I forget the exact name, but it's like the wand of Watoom or something.
Yeah,
and I was like, I know what that is. I know what that does. I know what that thing is. I know what's about to happen. It's like,
And then as soon as like the mission ends, they're just like, sorry, we took it back. Can't do any more visual stuff with it. Sorry. Like, you okay, one, okay.
You get one Rift Apart set piece. That's all we can afford.
You know what? Yeah. It was funny because I wasn't expecting to see any of the portal stuff in Spider-Man 2. Obviously, it wasn't shown in any of the pre-release stuff, but it just, as soon as I saw it, I was like, wow, that's super, super cool. Done even better than what it was in Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. But yeah, of course, they've got this amazing tech with these portals. They're going to use it for this set piece. Yeah, how did you find the Black Cat set piece, Sammy?
I mean, it is basically like a tech demo thing of just like, oh, this is, you know, like I haven't used like the PS5 before. I've like literally just borrowed it to play this game. And yeah, this is definitely one of those moments of like, holy shit, look at the stuff it can do, which is nuts. And yeah, I really enjoyed it as well. You know, it's very visually striking, very, it definitely added some fun and some, you know, interesting quirks to the usual kind of, there's a bunch of dudes, hit them a bunch, congratulations. So, you know, it definitely added like a little bit more spice, which I really liked.
I wonder if that moment where you go to the frozen tundra is a reference to something that could happen in maybe Wolverine or like some kind of reference to something in Marvel.
That would have been like a fun way to sneak in a reference there. Like we're outside the bar and we see someone get thrown or something, but we don't know it's Wolverine, but it's like, oh, it's the bar that Wolverine goes to.
Oh, yeah. Shit. I mean, they've got a lot of little Easter eggs that I saw sprinkled around.
Oh, there's so many that like, I didn't hear about, like, it's not a spoiler, but I guess we can talk about it here, was, like, Daredevil's office, like, Matt Murdock and whatever, what's his name? Foggy Nelson. So it was, like, Murdock and Nelson is being relocated or something. Whereas in the previous games, if you went to a certain building, it was just there. So that's, like, background story detail of, like, oh, shit, something's going on with Daredevil. He's moving around. Ooh.
And they had the Hydro bench. Lots of little sprinkly things, which I liked.
Yeah, just little spice.
And I guess it was our first taste of having a character talking to us from another sort of Marvel property, because we don't hear from Doctor Strange himself. We hear from his protege. I forget that the dude's name.
Wong.
Well, I'm not sure if that's quite the relationship, but yeah.
It depends, because like in comics, it's sometimes one way, in the movies, sometimes it's another way, in other things, it's another way. In this one, it seems maybe Wong is the Sorcerer Supreme. I don't know.
I mean, literally, you just get like a short handwritten note. Like,
yeah, literally, like,
I think it might be a bit hard to read too much into that.
Yeah, but it's just like, it doesn't really matter. The point is, yeah, it's Wong being like, hey, sorry, you can't have that though.
Yeah, conveniently after we do the mission.
Exactly. Nice. It's always fun.
Let us have our fun.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. One of the things I loved about that, too, and it's something that's repeated throughout the game, is you obviously have Miles's normal takedowns that he does once you build up enough attacks. But there's these awesome animations where you'll take down an enemy with another character. And this happens with characters that you don't ever get to play as or only appear in one part of the game, like Black Cat. And they're just done so well. The animation is absolutely fantastic. Like, when Black Cat helps you with your takedown, she'll jump out of a portal, kick their ass, and, you know, could just jump into another portal and go away, but it's just so stylistic. She'll, like, blow a kiss and then fall down into a portal on the ground, and it's just so well done, just dripping with style, and it's so cool when they do it with Harry as well, when he's getting about in the Venom suit, and then obviously throughout the game, if you run into Miles doing a crime, well, Miles isn't the one doing
Miles crime. Doing crime.
Oh no!
If you run into Miles whilst he is stopping a crime, you can join in, and there's animations where they kick the enemy's asses together as well too, which are all just pure joy. And the way that they were pulled off was so good as well too. Somehow, you don't have a lot of that weird thing that a lot of games will do, particularly like Ubisoft, where you go into the kill animation and the characters kind of like move around a little bit to get into a position where the animation can take place, and then the animation happens. It's just really smooth in between the gameplay and the animation itself.
I think they went for like very context specific moments where it was like you were near enough to the character that they can like force a camera angle change and go, and now you're here. It's like, so it's not that jarring thing that often happens where it's like, suddenly it's like, hey, you were halfway across the screen. You're not near me right now. Like, that would happen where, like, if I'm in a fight with, like, Rafe as well, they would be fucking over around on the other side of the screen. I wouldn't interact with them. But if I go up to if I beat on one of their enemies, then we'll get a combo attack going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they really, I think, went for, like, they must have some sort of internal system that tells you X is close enough to Y, initiate cool camera shit.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks so bloody lovely. And another one of the set pieces that I really enjoyed was the big wheel set piece, where basically you have to, like, stop the big wheel from falling. You're having fun at Coney Island, having a great old time, doing all these mini games and stuff, and then all of a sudden, the wheels are fallen, and then you gotta stop it. I think you get attacked by the hunters, don't you, or something?
Yeah, it's always the fucking hunters. The hunters are so funny.
That's when I think we first see Harry do his symbiote shit.
Yeah, well, that's when the roller coaster's falling apart. Yeah. At that point.
So, I was laughing because there's a dumb supervillain in Marvel Comics called Big Wheel. I was like, did I miss a set piece where iconic character Big Wheel comes in?
Jesus, all right. He's been posing as the Ferris wheel this entire time. He's undercover.
Maybe that's what it was. Ooh, secret cameo, guys. Oh, Big God. Wheel.
I mean, it might have just been like an intentional reference, like with the Hydro Bench kind of thing. So, like, who knows? Maybe.
Well, yeah, we just mentioned the that was the first time the symbiote showed up, and it's sort of revealed to us, though. I think it's very obvious from anyone following the previous games that Harry has used the symbiote in order to recover from whatever illness that it was that he had. Sammy, how did you find Harry and him as Venom?
I thought, first of all, like, Harry, I think it was kind of a bit more of a well-rounded character than some of the other versions that I've seen of him, because, like, a lot of the time they're kind of being like, he's kind of an asshole, to kind of big up the fact that he's going to become Venom. But, like, in this one, I mean, it was still kind of a bit of an ass, but it was also just, like, it seemed a lot more justified given the circumstances. So I was kind of okay with it. You know, like, he kind of gives off the vibe of, oh, I'm kind of a rich asshole, but also I'm, like, dealing with, like, a lot of shit. So, like, that's kind of why. And I really loved the time that we had with him being kind of, I guess, Venom, or, like, Agent Venom, sort of, I guess, is kind of closer to what would kind of be his thing at that point in time. don't know. But yeah, it was really cool having kind of like this, like, we kind of have, like, you know, the character who's been doing this for like 10 years or whatever. We have the character who's been doing it for like a year in Miles, and then we have like the fucking fresh off the block newbie kind of character. And it was so fun having some of those missions and just being like, whoa, I'm totally gonna crush all these dudes and beat the hell out of them. Whoa, there's a lad here. Oh shit. You know, it was so kind of chaotic and I loved it.
Yeah, I like that they highlight that like Harry is almost too excited about the crime fighting thing, where he kind of forgets that he's supposed to be like helping people. Like, that's a big thing in the Tombstone rescue part. Tombstone tells him, like, don't do that. It's like, it's rigged to explode. You can't mess around or something. Harry does it anyway. He's like, I told you not to do that. What are you doing? He's like, I don't know. I'm hitting it and I want it to work. It's like, Harry is just like kind of an excited kid who's like literally best friends with Spider-Man. So he's just like, oh, I just want to help you. Let's help the world. Yeah. Woo! But like, clearly the symbiote's giving him way too much power and he doesn't have the control over it to kind of pull back and not just go full out. Because you can see it when you're fighting with Harry. Harry's just fucking wailing on dudes. There seems to be like no rhyme or reason, but there's not really a lot of thought. It's just hit them hard because that works.
I think it did a good job of showing through Harry that, you know, the symbiote is probably some kind of sinister element. It's just showing the pure joy he was having, just completely destroying folks left and right, and having Peter have to be like, you know, like, good job, but also, like, relax a little bit, you know? It was fantastic. I loved the Harry-Venom dynamic, I think, because, first off, we've been hearing about Harry for a while now. He was referenced a fair bit in the first game, but we haven't actually obviously got to see him because he was recovering in a tank. And I think just them having the history, even though we haven't actually seen it through any of the previous games, I think it just did a lot to add to sort of the emotion and gravity of some of these moments. And it led to this kind of really cool thing. And the only thing I would liken it to is sort of the Hulk scenes in the first Avengers movie, where he's raging and he's like after Black Widow and she's trying to survive his, you know, terrifying thing that he's trying to, you know, survive getting pummeled, but also, like, you know, trying not to hurt their friend that is inside this beast. And you see that dichotomy there with, like, holy shit, Venom is this super imposing and terrifying figure, yet, you know, we don't want to kill him. We have to try and just stop him because our good mate Harry is in there and this is not really, really him. And I guess we're there at this point. We may as well talk about it. Holy shit, Venom showing up was just... I was in awe the second Venom showed up on screen. Just the transformation sequence, the Insomniac have pulled off so well, just like the wet Venom look with like the teeth dripping with saliva and the tongue sort of slipping about, it all just looked fantastic. Yeah. And the voice, Tony Todd's voice, was just pure filthy silk. It was just absolutely loved it. And the biggest surprise of all, which I did not see this coming at all, was you get to play as Venom for, like, a little bit. Like, holy fucking shit.
I so needed that after, like, the two fucking boss fights, like, one after the other. I was just like, yeah, let's just fucking wreck some shit. Like, I need that catharsis. It's like being the fucking Hulk all over again.
It reminded me a lot of, there's like a Hulk game, I think, for the Xbox original, where it was, you went around, and you just grab shit and throw it at other shit.
Yeah.
That I loved. There was so many things, like, as I was playing as Venom and just like realizing, it's like, oh, I don't have to follow the normal rules of Spider-Man. I can just plow through shit. The minute it was like, run forward, I'm like, what? And then it's just like breaking through walls. I'm like, oh. It's like, and then, like, the one that it really did hit me was grabbing a motherfucker and throwing it at another motherfucker.
Satisfying.
Absolutely.
Just like, bop. It's like, fuck.
And then one
of the finishes, two of the finishes don't look as brutal. One of them is like, he kind of grabs you and throws him against a wall. One of them, he kind of bites into him, but you don't see anything. One of them, he just breaks their back, and I'm like, oh, fuck. If he's not dead, he's never walking again, though. Just like, boom, yeah. like a twig, just fuck off.
Well, that's like, the thing. In that Venom section, it's implied that you're killing folk. Mm. Like, it is definitely, like, yeah. Whereas, you know, let's be real, when you are playing
Spider-Man doesn't kill.
People are dying when you're playing as Spider-Man or Miles. You smack someone
people
with
just get kicked off fucking skyscrapers. It's like, oh, it's fine.
Because they added that, they had to add that thing in the first game.
Yeah, they like, the web pulls them back into the building so they survive. Whatever. But yeah, you literally smack people with manhole covers. No one is surviving that from just a regular person doing it, let alone a Spider-Man. Those things weigh a ton. The game makes it pretty explicit that you're out here murdering folks, and that whole sequence culminates in you ending up in Times Square in the pouring rain, having a boss fight with Kraven the Hunter. Holy shit, that motherfucker! What a moment that was! That was so satisfying. It felt like everything that was building up with Kraven across the game was coming to a head. It felt like the final act of a movie. So good. And he bites off Kraven's head as well. Like, we don't see it, but it's very much implied. And you do see blood, which is out of the ordinary for a Insomniac Spider-Man game. But Venom be biting off heads. Anthony, what'd you think of the Kraven-Venom fight?
It was really fucking good. And kind of once I was in that situation, I was like, this makes sense. Because, like, how do you get rid of Kraven in this situation? It's like, Venom. It's like, Venom is how you get rid of him. It's like, I think that's such a perfect villain switch that feels natural.
Maybe like a raw T-bone steak.
Yeah, exactly. Just
go over there.
and the visuals of, going to Times Square and beating, like, the Hunters, but also Kraven in Times Square and all that. It was incredible. The bright neon, the rain. It was perfect. Like, incredibly cinematic. They clearly were like, we're making this as big of a moment as we can. And I guess just to backtrack a bit, it's such a good end, in a way, for Kraven. Because we've been building him up this whole game as, he's like the Hunter who's like, I just want a perfect death, but no one's worthy. Like, all these villains I keep fighting, none of them are giving me the physical, the hunts, nothing. It's all so, not mundane, but it's so boring to him. So when he finally fights this actual monster that is Venom, he's like, yes, take me. I'm ready to die. And it's so, like, just interesting, especially because this is, again, a problem I had with side content. I didn't do a lot of his side content until I'd finished the game. And there's just so much shit going on with Kraven in his life that's like, oh, that's like really interesting. Like that he was doing this whole time before he died. It's like, that's actually incredibly interesting as a character. But knowing that in hindsight, it's like, it still makes it such a great moment of just, he fully accepts his death and just like, yep, this is what I wanted. Perfect death. Give it to me now.
Yeah. It was kind of like, where that would kind of be like, yeah, so I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to just let, you know, God take me. I'm just going to be like, I'm going to take it to my own hands and fucking fuck someone up and get them to fuck me. I was like, that's actually kind of interesting, as opposed to Kraven, who's just like, hi, I really like hunting things and I really like prey. I'm really enjoying, you know, the blood of this prey that's a Mountain Dew. It's like, yeah, it's a prey. I'm drinking its blood. You know, I'm a level 10 barbarian. I cast sword. You know, it was very much like, oh, now I actually, you know, have some idea of who this fucking person is beyond just saying the words hunt and prey a lot. Granted, all the game before that, I was just like, fucking shut the fuck up. And even when I was playing it, I was like, shut the fuck up. Like, Because this motherfucker here is just like, it's all about the hunt and it's all about, you know, the perfect... And then, like, he's detonating, like, trigger mines and,
yeah,
like, you know, doing pocket sand. I'm just like, okay. Let's see. If you want the perfect hunt, stop using the bell. Stop trying to take advantage of the situation and actually just fight me.
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
I feel like they try to do a throwaway line as to why you can justify using it. It's like, oh, a hunter uses all the tools that are available to him. Which
Was kind of camouflage, jump jets and shit.
I think they were kind of forced into a corner because, you know, we've already fought such tough enemies over the course of Spider-Man. It'd be weird if just like a bunch of people with bow and arrows rocked up who somehow could just... take him out. So they're like, okay, we've got to go technology wise. He's super tech savvy. He's inexplicably got tons of money. He's Batman, but he's obsessed with hunting and basically runs a cult. And look, at first,
they don't give a shit about any kind of law at all.
Yeah, that's the part that's funny to me a little, when there was like, oh, they just have this mansion. It's like the police aren't like gonna do anything about that. The place where they're all held up, no investigation, no, like, surprise, nothing, okay.
You can just steal prisoners and hunt them to death, like, that's okay.
Okay.
If you have enough money to pay the... Because wasn't it, like, some kind of hotel that they took over or some shit like that?
Yeah, I guess he just bought the whole hotel, but
I don't know.
Lots of abandoned places they hole up in. Yeah.
Definitely some of those things where they're like, okay, because video game and...
Yes.
Yeah.
I was also concerned as well, Sammy, that it's just going to be like, oh, he's just shitting on about hunting the whole time. Fucking yes, Christ. But I think the hunt, the prey, in the end for me, thematically, Craven actually worked perfectly for the story that they were trying to tell. Because for me, this... game seems to be about the idea that people can change. Mm. And the reason why Spider-Man doesn't kill people is because that is part of his philosophy, that people can change, people can be greater, as the tagline of the game is. And Kraven is obviously the exact opposite of that. He's the idea of finality. People are prey and predator, and the predator kills the prey, and then that's it. That's end of the story. And when you see Peter's anguish and Miles's anguish at all of these villains dropping dead left and right, and you find out that just unceremoniously, not even on screen, you find out like Shocker has been killed. I think it's implied Rhino has been killed. You see Scorpion get stabbed to death, and it's a weird
and
feeling
vultures,
in a Spider-Man
game.
Vulture's
also dead.
Vulture's dead as well, and it's just a weird feeling in a Spider-Man game just to see lots of death on screen. Mm. Like, we don't really quite get a lot of that other than Aunt May, I guess. Miles's dad. So for me, in the end, thematically, Kraven worked really well for me, and at the point where he sees Peter with the symbiote on and he realizes that's the one, and you see this expression of joy on his face, it was I was sold at that point. And the way it built up to that massive Venom fight, I loved it. They did such a good job with the facial animations on all the characters, but in particularly in Kraven, because he doesn't say a ton. He's not talking all the time, so it relies a lot on these moments where the camera really pulls in on his face, and you can really see like the anticipation in his eyes. It's Yeah, super cool. And he won. He's the most successful villain. He got he came in, fucked shit up, and got what he wanted and got out of there by not having a head anymore. And
that's one way to describe it.
Well, it's just interesting to see a villain just straight up succeed. What a fucking way to end Kraven, and that wasn't even the end of the game yet. Oh.
I think another interesting wrinkle, I don't know, maybe it was intentional, I feel like it must have been, is that Kraven and Harry are both afflicted with like a disease that's going to kill them. And like, that's like an extra wrinkle of just like, you know, the ultimate prey, the ultimate hunter, they're kind of the same. They're people who, very rich people who have all these resources that can keep them alive. And just what they choose to do with their final moments. And it's like, Kraven wants to hunt, kill, and like find the perfect death. Harry, before all the Venom shit, was just like, I want to help people. I want to heal the world, as the other, that's his tagline. It's like, I want to heal the world. I want to make things better. I want to create a better world for everyone. And I think that's, that is, again, it's very interesting as well, because that's kind of, I think that's what really, just to go back again to Harry, because we didn't skip over this, but it's something I really like about Harry in this is, and why I think he's a better choice for Venom than just Eddie Brock. I like Eddie Brock, but Eddie Brock is some guy that Peter Parker fucks over for like a week. He's not, and I like that. I still think that's interesting. There's like such a small thing can create this huge enemy, but there's something, even better about Peter Parker's best friend who is dying the same way his mum did. And he made this foundation with Peter because of May and all these interpersonal connections that build their relationship so like close and knit together. He's dying because Peter can't give him back the suit. That's all he had to do. He just had to give him back the suit. And that's why slowly like Harry gets like more and more frustrated with Peter. He's just seeing, it's like, do you even care if I die? Because just give me the suit back. You don't need it anymore. Just give it back to me. Not knowing obviously that the symbiote doesn't want that either. But I love that like that is what all Harry is thinking is, does he even care if I live or die? Because without the suit, I'm dead. And I can't do anything. I have no power. And I just think that's an incredibly interesting, like, way more interesting dynamic and way more interesting reason for him to, like, hate Peter and, like, hate Spider-Man eventually is, like, you didn't ruin my life for a week. You almost killed me because you refuse to let go of this power. And I just think that's way more interesting than, like, a guy Peter fucks over for a week. I think that's way more interesting.
Yeah, look, I agree. And I think it hits even harder because during that time is how we find out just how dangerous the suit is through Peter's experience. And, Peter's slowly having that realization of, holy shit, I don't think Harry should actually have this suit back because it is fucking dangerous, fully well knowing, holy shit, yes, he will die if he doesn't get it back. It's a dilemma.
I mean, it's more that, once he gets separated, he's like, oh, actually, this is bad. Throughout, the time that he actually has it, like, it's kind of a bit of a gradual, like, oh, yeah, he really does like beating the shit out of criminals, I guess. There's a little bit of the kind of cheesiness of it, of like a couple of lines being like,
oh, yeah,
oh, I'm so cool. Like, what was that fucking line from the trailer that was in the game? It was like,
he's got teeth.
He's like, so do I. Like, oh my God, shut up.
The best one was when he first gets the suit. And it's the only time I think you hear Tony Todd really come out with Peter. Is the first time they combine. It's just like, this suit feels so good. I'm just like, like, all right, I get it. It sounds like bit of an O face there for Peter. Just, he's like, all right, Peter, we get it. It's a good suit.
This game is like a New York pizza. There is no shortage of cheese. That is for sure. I thought I was going to be cringing the whole way through all the Peter is Venom stuff, the symbiote Peter stuff, but I found they sort of brought it about gradually enough that it worked for me. Though, yes, of course, not without its cheese. But there is another part where Tony Todd does rear his wonderful head during the Peter Parker sequence, and that's when you are playing as Mary Jane.
Right.
So my favorite Mary Jane sequence out of the lot was the one where Peter comes home and goes to bed, and the symbiote takes over, and you're straight away sort of given a clue that this ain't right and something's about to go wrong when Peter lays down and the symbiote creepily pulls the blanket over him, and then the hunters find where Peter is and that start beginning an attack, and Mary Jane looks back for Peter and he's just gone.
Yeah.
At that moment, I'm like, oh, fuck, what is about to happen?
I love the symbiote takes him for a ride, I think is the term. It's like, yeah, takes Peter for a ride.
It was such a good example of what a evil and destructive force the symbiote was to be in the shoes of Mary Jane, where you're far more vulnerable and just you're when saying vulnerable, she can just take out cunts left and right. Probably
that's what I fucking love. I love that so much. It's so fucking ridiculous. So, like, they've bigged up, you know, these hunters as, like, the most elite, the most best ever hunters. And then just, like, this fucking little shit, red hair, you know, I'm a spunky reporter with a stun gun, like, takes all of them out. It's so dumb.
Simmy, she went to self-defense classes when she was with Sable.
I don't fucking care. That is so dumb.
That was the only way to explain it, because it's like, yeah, it's literally the meme of, like, 100 trained, like, military soldiers, one spunky reporter with a stun gun. It's like okay, then.
I don't know. Yeah.
Apparently, she does not need our help.
I need so much more context as to what the hell's going on with the hunters, that they're, you know, cavemen, but also they have active camo jets, and also they're, like, the most perfect elite hunters, and they can't stand up to some fucking chick with a stun gun. Like, fuck off.
It makes no sense narratively whatsoever, but regardless, I'm so glad Insomniac did that, because they're aware of the criticisms of the Mary Jane segments in the previous games and sort of how powerless she is. So it is good to have something you can use to fight back. But when you're sneaking around taking out dudes, the moments where Peter jumps out and just destroys fools with the symbiote suit was just such a good display of the suit's power. And it culminates in that moment where you're going into the tunnel and Peter is fighting with the Venom suit, and he looks up at Mary Jane, and Tony Todd's voice takes over, and he says, "Run." And, it was just... the hairs on the back of my neck were sticking up. I got shivers from that moment. It was so cool. And then you do run, and it's very reminiscent of that scene in the Avengers when the Hulk's after Black Widow, and the Hulk's just wrecking shit. Venom's just wrecking shit left and right, and you're in a total panic as Mary Jane.
But she did get off the stun gun. Just get off the stun gun. Come on.
Bam, bam.
Yeah. But I feel like, if I recall correctly, there was a moment in the fucking one where you have to get Kurt Connors out.
Yeah.
Where, like, you see Craven and Mary Jane, so like, the stun gun. I was like, oh my god, if Craven's story ends with Mary Jane just knocking her out. It's just like, that would be the best ever.
Oh, this guy wasn't that big a problem.
It's like, all right, whatever. That was, seemed like a...
Well, you're under arrest.
Yeah.
No, Mary Jane was the one after all. There you go.
And we'll get to that in a second. But no, like, it reminded me a lot of, I think Resident Evil 2 or 3 was getting quoted a lot, like, very Mr. X, very Nemesis, where it's just this thing stalking you, and it's just like, what the fuck? What the fuck do I do here? If he hits me, I'm dead. Level. But
I didn't love all the Mary Jane stuff, but you had stuff like that in the game where they're kind of, you know, the, oh, you're not doing Spider-Man thing, you're doing other things. And I liked that because it did kind of mix it up a little bit.
I really liked, the more, I guess, I know what you call, like, casual missions, where it's like Peter and I know some people are like, what is this here? Ugh. But like the Peter and Harry one where you're just walking around the school, I enjoyed that. I thought that was a fun little, like, you're Spider-Man, but you don't have all his tools, so you've got to be a bit more smarter about, like, stealthing and shooting webs. Yeah. You can't just be like, shoot web, zip line, throw a rock, fuck you, web bomb, eat my dick. It's like one web. Web again, walk away. It's
for,
like,
people listening, which is everyone, Anthony was just miming, doing some wall climbing.
I do visual gags, despite this not being a visual medium. I apologize. But, like,
I mean, it was more just you were demonstrating what was happening.
Yeah. It's like,
do web.
It's like, you shoot a web, you walk, and then, like, that's all you can really do, because, like, you don't have all the tools of a modern Spider-Man. And I just thought that was a lot
Rock
of fun.
Rock on, party.
Yeah. Where was the Peter rave scene? Where was the Bully Maguire dance? Just
there was none of that, which thank fuck. Even though, having said that, how amazing would it be if you were like just walking down the street as Peter Parker, and then all of a sudden they start doing like some of the shit from the Mysterium, like some rhythm game in the middle of it to do like the fucking.
That would, I actually would have really liked that. Yeah,
I'm pissed there was no reference of that in there. It would have been nice if, like, when you're in the black suit, if you start walking down the street, if Peter will automatically start doing finger guns at everybody as he walks past them.
Do a lot of A.
would be so good. Speaking of Venom.
Ooh, yes, Venom.
Yes.
At one point, we get Mary Jane Venom or yes. Scream, which I have no idea who Scream is, but I was like, I'm sure that's a reference.
According to comic books, she's like one of the billion symbiotes that appears. It's a whole thing in the comics where it's like everyone's like, it's Venom and Carnage. It's like, no, there's like 20 other motherfuckers here, and
Venom,
they're all
Carnage, Toxin.
Scream, there's like
Anti-Venom,
Havoc, or Mayhem, I think, Havoc. Is one of them.
Yeah,
it's like, there's so many.
There's a lot.
So many.
It's a whole alien race.
It literally is. It's a whole alien thing. Race.
Yeah. Look, for me, I found it was cool to see in the first place, like when Mary Jane comes out from behind that doorway and you're like, holy shit, what is fucking happening? But for me, the boss fight itself, I wasn't the biggest fan of, and mostly because, for one, it was weird. It was like you're in this weird couples therapy session while you're beating the shit out of each other, which I'm sure isn't healthy. Most therapists would not recommend being in fisticuffs whilst you're sorting out your issues.
Mary but Jane, also, I'm sorry for not listening. Also,
we were playing, I know you, Anthony, were also playing on spectacular difficulty. I'm not sure what difficulty you played on, Sammy.
I almost said Amazon. Amazing.
Well, I found it to be fairly difficult, that boss fight. It probably took me like 10 to 15 tries to finally take Scream down. And you'd be in the middle of a combo and you'd say Scream would jump up onto the different roofs around. And I'd web zip up to the roof, start beating the shit out of her. And then you'd get too close to like the edge of where the boundary was for that arena and you wouldn't be able to hit her anymore. And it was just really frustrating to be in like a combo and a hard boss fight, and like because of these weird limitations they decided to put on, you can't do it. Like everywhere else you can sort of it makes more sense when you're fighting Lizard because you're like underneath the ground in a sewer, so it makes sense you can't just swing off anywhere. But all the other big fights, you have a lot more freedom in how you can tackle it. It was just annoying to get those combos broken. And I did find the dialogue very corny. It kind of felt like they had to shoehorn in some kind of arc with Mary Jane, and they had to sort of resolve that quickly before they could get to the Venom stuff.
I think it was kind of like the symbiote, you know, kind of tends to amplify, you know, the anger and emotions and stuff. And then there's an element of like, oh, I got to get through to the real Mary Jane. So then, you know, it just becomes like a shouting therapy match thing. So wait, so was that shit like a bug, or was that like, so that,
not
that
a bug.
Was actually
I did
what
get,
it was supposed
I had
to
a
do.
Bug in another boss fight. It wasn't a bug.
I had a couple of bugs.
Yeah, it was just more like, because the arena was so specific. But the problem was they kept like the, I don't know what you call it, the game's normal boundaries in there. So if she goes past a fence, she goes past the fence. But we can't go past that fence. If you try to like zip her and like you kick her, she goes past the fence. You try and bring her back, it's like, no, you can't. The game just kind of stops you where you are. And that happens a few times where if you knock her past like a certain house, it's like, well, that house isn't in this particular battle arena, so you can't continue the combo.
So it's sexism.
Blatant.
Very much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no, it was kind of a problem with a few boss battles, in my opinion, was the arenas. I felt a lot of them were a bit too limiting and just boxes. Not always, I think, but some of them, especially one of the ones that kind of bothered me just a little was, and we didn't really talk about it, Miles versus Peter, where it's like, I feel like that's the one where you want to be swinging around the city, like two Spider-Men swinging through the city, fighting each other. That just sounds awesome. But instead it's like, oh, we're stuck in this house, this backyard.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're throwing things at each other. It's like, okay. And that's where I got my most notorious bug. I did like a combo on Peter and he got stuck in one of the trees.
Damn.
And I just, I couldn't combo him because he was too high up. And I was like, eventually I built up enough of like a finisher bar that I had to like, I did a finisher on him and it slammed him into the ground. And then it like went as it was supposed to. It was just, an annoying, like, oh, okay. I don't, this isn't supposed to happen.
Yeah, you got lucky there. I definitely had a couple of enemies get stuck in walls, and I tried using AoE attacks and stuff to get them or finishes and that, but I couldn't get to them through the walls. I had to restart. Yeah. Thankfully, restarting is super quick, and you're back into the game very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I had one enemy stuck in, like, a tree because I was, like, trying to find... Because I'd taken everyone out. I was like, sick, we're done. And, like, nothing was happening. I was like, oh, all right. What did I also have? I had, during the tutorial section, when Miles takes down, like, I think, like, a bank thing, like, they had, like, a little, do this thing, like, you know, here's how you do, you know, this maneuver, but, like, I was so, like, oh my god, there's people, I gotta hit them, that I, like, pressed, like, a bunch of buttons, and it, like, skipped the tutorial, but then everything was in slow motion, like, going forward, I was like, okay, I'm gonna restart. What other ones did I have? I had one crash near the end, during one of the cutscenes.
Unlucky, I got no crashes somehow.
Yeah, yeah, it was just during a cutscene between, like, the second and third phases of the Venom fight, I think.
Yeah.
And there was one other one, which was, like, when I was doing one of the flame things. I think when you, like, restart, like, they do kind of like a flash the character like white and then kind of, you know, just back to normal as like a transition thing. It got stuck halfway between that.
Oh,
so I just had a bright white character in like a dark environment, and it got to the point where I was just like, this is so fucking distracting that I'm just gonna restart because I can't stand this.
Yeah,
it's just too much. I can't.
There were only two other big bugs I had. One of them was I did like
Miles and
I went in one of them.
They're arachnids, not bugs and insects.
They're not bugs.
But in one of Miles' missions, I did too much damage. I don't know. Like, I feel like I was supposed to not.
You're too good at this.
Well, kind of. Like, I know. But like, I did too. I feel like, because the cutscene, they say, oh, the symbiotes, they're going back to the nest. And like, no, they fucking didn't in mine, because I killed them all. So by the time the cutscene was pure black, and you just hear like Miles talking to someone, he's like, they're going back to the nest, we gotta go that way. And it's just like, I'm looking at a black screen. Nope. I'm like, no, they're fucking not. And the other one I had was right at the beginning of the game. It was the only time I think I had to reset because of a bug. I was swinging on the bridge to go fight Sandman. I thought I'd do a cool trick and go like in between like the girders in the bridge, and I got stuck. like literally Spider-Man like holding his arms up like mid-fall just the whole time. Wouldn't move. And I was like, can I zip? Can I crawl? Can I jump? And it's just like, no.
No.
And I was like, all right, reset. Thankfully, it was only like a second or two ago that it saved. I was like, oh, thank God.
There was a point like that for me as well. It was right at the moment before you get the anti-venom powers you've fought with Mr. Negative and you're at that, reached that heart and you're about to blow the heart up and you get a new upgraded venom power, which is Miles's new suite of powers. And you know how they'll have those moments in the game where time slows down to a pause and it will say, hit triangle to activate this. It did that, but then nothing would happen when I'd hit triangle.
Well,
And I tried restarting from the checkpoint, but the checkpoint was the same moment, so it would just get to a point where just nothing would happen there. So I ended up having to restart that entire mission. Thankfully, they do a lot of auto saves, and I only had to play about 10 minutes to catch up to where I was. So yeah, that was definitely a bit of an inconvenience. But apparently, a lot of people have had even more issues than this. Lots of crashes, and you know, the spider box thing we've seen getting about, spider cube, where Spider-Man's just a cube and you see it do all the Spider-Man things. Yeah, this is probably the buggiest of the three so far from the looks of it. But thankfully, yeah, I know at least my time wasn't too bad. It was nothing bad enough that it really hindered my experience that much, aside from being just a slight nuisance. Nothing like fucking Starfield where I can't finish the main game.
Yep. It was a pretty good discouraging thing that they could do to be like, yeah, just stop playing. Just stop playing.
Oh, yes.
It's bad. We get it.
Oh, yes. And now there was something we did touch on before, but I got distracted onto the next thing because ADHD brain.
Yep.
We talked about those moments where things slow down and you're walking around as Peter or walking around as Miles, and there's a lot more character stuff going on. Now, I knew straight away when Aaron was saying on the episode we recorded earlier, there were certain moments that he got frustrated with and found it very boring. And I guarantee you, yes, it was these moments. And I understand why for Aaron, he wouldn't like those sections because he doesn't like stuff where it's all just character and story and no gameplay at all. He's not a fan of that stuff. For me, I really enjoyed it. I was so interested to find out Harry's deal, and I was so invested in the story and the characters that I found these points really intriguing. On a second playthrough, will I find it frustrating? Probably a bit, but hopefully when you're not taking your time and absorbing everything, you can get through these sections pretty quickly. Sammy, how'd you find the walking, talking bits?
I mean, it was the kind of thing where, like, in part because, like, I wanted to try and get through most, if not all of it, before, you know, recording the episode that we did, because of, you know, whatever various things. Like, I generally enjoyed them, but, you know, it'd be the kind of thing where I'd get, like, 2/3, 3/4 of the way through and be like, okay, I want to kind of, I've had a good break. I want to kind of get back into, you know, doing some wacky shit. So, like, I mean, it kind of depended, you know, like, there were definitely some missions where it was a bit slower, but I really enjoyed it. Like, one that immediately comes to mind is one that I did recently-ish. That was one of the Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man one, where someone is doing graffiti and stuff.
Yes!
You kind of go around as Haley and, you know, you kind of, there's like no audio and stuff, or at least very muffled audio, you know, because she's a deaf character, which I really liked. That was a very nice touch. As well as all like the little emojis to kind of be like, oh, it seems like, you know, they're sleepy or something.
The quiet man, anyone?
No, fuck off.
The best, don't even best game.
Yeah.
The quiet man, but done well.
Yeah.
And also a woman. So,
the quiet woman.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That sounds sexist.
Ugh. Up yours, woke
women
moralists.
Need to be quiet and go back to the kitchen and make me a sandwich. I don't believe this personally. This is a joke.
Satire, Minecraft, yeah.
So I really liked some of the ones like that, where it was just like, oh, this is just kind of a nice little kind of character moment to kind of get an idea of what, like, Haley's thing is. And yeah, but, you know, then there were like other ones where it was just like, I'm enjoying this, we've seen enough, you know. Like, I enjoyed like the carnival thing and doing the little mini games, but then when you start to like, when it's like, oh, we're about to get onto the wheel, it's just like, okay, I'm really hoping that something happens so we could actually do the spider webbing stuff again. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Hey, but we got to ride a bicycle.
I like that those scenes were more, I think, an excuse for Insomniac to be like, let's experiment with something here. Let's try something we haven't done before. Like, all right, let's throw this in. See how would that work? It's like you said, the graffiti mission I fucking loved because I love how it just does different things. So where it's like, I know it's a small thing. It's like you press R2 and you push the stick to do the graffiti. But it's like, I don't know. I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I liked that the, like they do small things to like spruce up the gameplay in not significant ways, but just, yeah, take a break from your Spider-Maning and do like a small mission.
And can I just say it was really fucking cool to see a deaf character have so much time and representation in a video game, and I think they just did a fantastic job with Haley. I love Haley as Miles's love interest. I get their chemistry. It works really well. It's so sweet that Miles and his buddy and his mum have all learnt how to sign so they can communicate with her. It just absolutely melts my heart. They do the text to speech when Haley contacts Miles. Yes. Like they just they've thought about the minutiae of it. It seems very clear to me they've spoken to actual deaf people to see how they should portray this character, and it was just really heartwarming to see that kind of representation in there. I can't really, not a lot of games do it. Yeah, so cool.
I can't really.
And it was just an intriguing mission too. It was just fun and interesting and a bit of an insight into her character. Very cool. As far as the bicycle segments are concerned, like people have made fun of them. You know, they are kind of silly, and I think that it's kind of acknowledged that they are like kind of silly moments. Yeah. But it felt to me like Insomniac's excuse to sort of show off the city, rather than you know, just swinging past it at 1,000 miles an hour. You're down on the ground looking up at the massive city and seeing everything going on, and it was just a visual feast. And I feel like they don't overuse it well. It's used very sparingly. Maybe there's just one that there is one side quest where you got to ride around Central Park to like, collect.
I love that one.
Things you love. For me, that one didn't feel like as good a use for it. The one where you're doing the Daily Bugle mission. So that there's a side quest where you go back in time to Peter when he was like first starting
it's
out the Daily Bugle.
You don't actually really go back in time.
Yeah,
Spider-Man
figures out time travel.
He figures out time travel.
Mate, they got portals. Perfect. They can do it. But yeah, I love that sequence. It was a good look into Peter's history, and I thought what a cool way to use it. Like, clearly they're like, fuck, we've put in 3 months figuring out how to implement this bicycle. We're gonna put it in more than just one main story quest. We need to use it elsewhere.
Well, as much as like some people might be like, oh man, that sucks, like can you imagine doing that main story mission and you just have to physically walk like 4 blocks?
Oh my gosh.
You know, instead, it's just like that would be like a little bit too much downtime. I think.
Yeah. I guess like while we're still talking about side missions, before we get to like, I guess the big story ones, I think two of my favorite missions in the game were the friendly neighborhood side missions. One of them was, and they, I think both of them made me cry. Yeah. The first one was there's this old man in the park. And it's just like, like a granddaughter's like, help me, my grandpa's gone missing, I don't know where he is. And you just learn that it's like him reminiscing about his wife who's no longer with him. And as someone who got recently married, it's like, my heart, fuck. It's like, it was so sad, like, just him talking about like, yeah, we used to sit here all the time, we'd look over there and like reminisce, and I'm just like, fuck you. It's like, what are you doing to me? Like, how dare you, game? Like, I've been, it's like, oh, it's like, I just wasn't, not that I wasn't expecting it, but this is kind of, a good superhero game needs this, I think. It really does accentuate, like, it's not about fighting the aliens and the crazy hunter guys all the time. It is sometimes you sit with an old man on a bench and you talk about his life, and it's like, I loved that so much. It really did get to me. And just like, oh, this is so beautiful. And then the other one is, I feel bad because I cannot remember the character's name.
Pigeon Guy.
But like, he's someone we've encountered throughout the first game. Like, one of the first game's side missions is you follow pigeons around and you collect them and you get like information from them or something. And then you, I think there's a side mission in Miles where you meet up with him again. So
he's Howard.
Howard, thank you. Yeah, so we know who Howard is. We've played games and he's been there for those games. And so this mission, and it's pretty obvious what's going to happen from the start. It's like, once he gets into the dialogue about, like, he's like, ugh, I'm going to go on a trip someday. I'm like, nope, I don't like this. I don't like where this is going.
Aww.
And you play this mission. He's like, just find a good place for the birds. Like, take the pigeons somewhere where they can be happy. And so you do this beautiful, it's actually like beautiful sequence of you flying around with the pigeons. They follow you. They're ducking and diving with you as you use your web wings to float around. Eventually you find a place. Oh yeah, the song's also incredible. And you finally find a place, and then my playthrough, I think I did Miles. I think you can do Peter as well.
I was Peter for mine.
Okay, yeah. I did it as Miles. I don't know why. I just was playing as Miles and decided
just
to do it.
You don't expect it to
like, it's just, fuck.
It's a random side quest.
Yeah, and then it's like, I almost wanted to like see if I could reset the save and do it again, but I was like, I don't think I want to do that to myself. But like, yeah, you try to call it, you try to contact him, you go back and you see that he's passed. Like, and that, it was obvious. It was like, once this mission started and where it was going, it's like, I know that's what's going to happen, but I just hate it. Because it's like, damn it, I actually got to know this guy. And like, it's such a beautiful mission. And just seeing like, yeah, this small thing of like, he's just this random, like, homeless guy who feeds the pigeons and has all these pigeons. But you made a connection with him and you feel sad when he's gone. And it's just incredible. It was, like I said, maybe my favorite side mission in the game, just because it's like, it affected me more than any other. Like, emotionally, I just felt like that, like, everything that the game was trying to tell me. It's like, this is just such a sad moment, but so beautiful as well. Just like, anyway.
It affected me more than any of the emotional moments in the main story. Like, that, it really, really got me. It kind of reminds me of, in a sense, like Up. You know, you can sort of sense, like, it's like, oh, this sweet love story, but you can sort of sense something's going to go wrong eventually in that short little span at the start. And yeah, you know it's coming, and even though you know it's coming, it still fucking hits you so hard. Like, the second he doesn't answer that phone call, like, oh, fuck, oh, why are you doing this to me, Insomniac? How can you do this to me? And yeah, it really gets you. And I think it's probably my favorite side quest too, just because it's just so out of nowhere. It is so sweet and heartfelt. It's building on a character that I'm pretty sure Howard is in Miles Morales as well as the 2018 Spider-Man. I don't think he has as much. He's not in Miles Morales quite as much, because in the 2018 one, you're collecting his pigeons that have escaped. What a beautiful quest. And yeah, just holy shit, fuck you, Insomniac, for destroying me emotionally in the space of 10 minutes. Like, where do you get off pulling that shit?
Oh,
dearie me.
I'm looking forward to doing that at some point. I don't think I've got that one yet.
Yeah.
You'll know.
Yeah. But yeah, I really like the guy in the park. I also really like the fucking you know, like, oh, we're going to get the robot doggo kind of thing.
Robot dog was so fun.
The fucking ending on that is so, it's so dumb and so sweet and so, like, you know, this is a Marvel storyline of just like, oh, well, it's a dog that doesn't have, like, that doesn't trigger dog allergies and also may kill people, but also it did just fetch your slippers. So it's just like, that's so dumb, but so sweet. So,
yeah.
And absolutely the shit that I want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what else is there? Oh, and the homecoming. I love the homecoming one as well.
My heart.
Sweet.
My heart at the homecoming one. Oh.
That was so sweet.
The homecoming promposal.
Yeah, promposal one. Thing was just so cute.
Oh, it was so sweet. Cause again, like, as you said, like, it's such a good counterbalance to just all the fighting and shit to just, you know, help a couple of people. Like, I don't know. Like, I love shit like that. It's why I love Baldur's Gate. It's why I love this game. It's just, you know, it kind of allows you to kind of interact with the story and the world more. And that's going to be a million times better than whatever, like, oh, we put a million, like, things. Here's, like, a button you can press.
Yeah.
And there's 100 of them. Find them all. Yeah. You know, like, no, I want, like, actual people doing
exactly,
shit. I want to say that.
100%.
The payoffs to all the side quests were so good, like getting the extra story you get behind Sandman and finding out the context behind how he ended up destroying so much of New York and going on that rampage. The Prowler, the Prowler's back obviously because you're playing as Miles as well, and he's left stashes everywhere, and he's basically just saying, you know,
pretty good,
Miles, use my technology because I'm not using it anymore. And I liked what this added to Miles's story, though I did find the payoff at the end a little bit weird. So once you get to the end part, you find the final Prowler stash, and he's like, oh, it's a layout of my building. What's going? Is he going to rob my building? And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, why would he think that the Prowler, the person who has this insane technology and was a prolific thief, would want to rob the residents of his apartment in Queens or wherever it is that he lives? It just made no sense to me whatsoever.
And he's left all this evidence that Miles just has now, so it's like, what?
He finds it at that last Prowler stash. He sees the plans there, so I get how the dots get connected, but just it made no sense how he jumped to, oh, a Prowler's gonna, Uncle's gonna steal all our shit, and then he gets home and finds there's like two or three things missing. And he's like, oh, he's robbed us.
Where's the son of a bitch?
he could rob banks and get millions and billions of dollars. Why would he want to steal just a couple of your things? And it all culminates into him confronting his uncle in the upstairs apartment. And his uncle's like, whoa, 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 calm down, kid. I'm just moving in upstairs. And it's like, okay, Insomniac, you didn't need to do that. That could have just been a sweet moment. You didn't need to like try and pull the rug out from under us. It was just weird. Like, why would Miles believe any of that shit? But
I'm so sad that this great, amazing plot twist has been spoiled for me. Like, what?
No.
What the fuck are you talking about?
No, it's so when I did it, I think Zach was walking out, and it's just like, the fuck is this?
Yeah.
That just, I don't know, that just sounds like, oh my god, my childhood house has been burnt down and all my possessions are gone. What's the, a post-it note saying that I need to buy some milk? Okay, I'll do that. Like, what's happening? Yeah. What's happening here? It's very convoluted. Just say that you're moving in like a normal person. Yeah. Stop making everything into, you know, some fucking supervillain escape room puzzle hunt thing. Just stop.
Now, another side quest which actually had a good ending to it was the Flame side quest. Very, very cool. Is it Yumi? Is that the name of...
Yuki.
Yuri
Watanabe.
Yuri, of course.
That's Sammy can't hear us because he's actually like deafening himself so he doesn't get spoiled.
Oh, okay. Probably a good idea for this one. We'll have to make sure we let him know when he could have his headphones back on.
I'll do a motion to be like that or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
No, don't put them back on yet. But we'll tell you
when to put them back on. I'll do that when you put them back on.
I need to get some water anyway.
So, basically, the Flame side quest, first off, Yuri is... what's the name of Yuri's...
Wraith. It's Wraith. Because, a spirit.
A little bit lame to me, but I'm guessing comic book fans would be really into it.
Yeah, I'm sure someone pointed and went, oh! I'm not familiar if this is a thing that happens in the comics, because Yuri is a relatively... new character, so maybe it's her alternate personality. I don't know, man.
As corny as I thought her character was, I still appreciated the dynamic between her and Peter. I found it very, very interesting. And another point in the game, this was a side quest, so you could have completely missed all of this, but they still bothered to put in the duo animation. So you can take down enemies with Yuri. So cool.
Oh, yeah. And also, this is something, and it's all right because Tammy doesn't need to know this, but it's one of my favorite things is when you're doing those group fights, you can, if you see the character at the end, press triangle and they'll do something. For Yuri, Spider-Man walks up to give her a high five. She does nothing. He just goes like, yeah, anyway. He swipes it behind the back of his head like, yeah, I meant to do that. What?
So cool.
Such a fun little detail. But yeah, this is... I got this spoiled. Well, no, I didn't get this spoiled for me. I spoiled myself for the conclusion on this. Although I did assume, based on the facts presented to me in the first like mission, where it's like, huh, a ginger guy who's murdering people, and he's after some sort of great beast thing. It's like, it could be anything. It's like, yeah, it's a carnage.
So I didn't pick up on that at all. Yeah. I was just like, oh, who's this flame guy? I didn't start the quest till like way later on in the game, so I was very confused as to why there was some weird flame cult that was doing rituals in alleyways and trying to explode fuel trucks or whatever it is that they're doing. So it was interesting to finally get that context when I did play. And I didn't find the flame that interesting as an enemy, though he's performed very well, but it was very much, I'm evil and I want to kill shit and fuck shit up. It wasn't that complicated, but
very
Yuri and Peter's dynamic of Yuri is going through her whole, you have to fucking kill people because otherwise they're going to keep coming back. It's the whole Craven finality thing, whereas Peter's doing his thing of people can change. That's why we don't kill them.
Yeah.
Killing people is bad. So I did find that interesting there, sort of push and pull and pointing out the flaws in each other's philosophies.
Yeah, I think Yuri had like one line where I was like, that kind of does sum it up very well for her, which is like, I think it's, he's like, it's like, how could you sleep at night knowing you killed someone? She's like, I'd rather lose sleep over the one or dozens of people I've had to kill than the thousands I could have saved. It's like, yeah, that's kind of a good point. It's like, I'm going to lose sleep anyway. Can it at least be saving people?
Fantastic writing with that one there, because like, you know, the whole time I'm on Peter's side, but I can't hear that and not think, eh, she's got a fucking good point.
Like, with that we one, are literally letting thousands of people die by not just punching this guy into the pavement.
That's right. And the whole sequence, the whole thing culminates with the reveal. This flame cult leader, guys, after a little bit of symbiote.
Ooh.
And that little symbiote happens to be red hair. It's time for carnage. Yeah, they're teasing carnage.
Yeah. And I mean, it was, I thought they would in this game. I didn't think it would be through a side mission. I thought it might be like literally you hear like in a police dispatch, like, Cletus Cassidy has escaped prison and wherever he is. And then maybe we get like in the post, one of the post-credit scenes was going to be like this guy walking around being like, what the fuck is that? And he grabs the symbiote. It's like, and then he becomes carnage. But instead they actually did something cool with it, which is they made like a whole mission out of it where they turn him into like, yeah, a Charles Manson type, which is kind of interesting because normally he's just like generic serial killer, stabbity, stabbity. Like now it's like, no, he's trying to basically create this prophecy of, I'm going to become the chaos monster. I'm going to, like, be carnage. It's like, that's actually very interesting, I think, to have him be, like, a guy who believes that he needs to do this to, like, restore order or bring chaos or something. Like, whatever his weird fucked worldview is. But just very interesting. Yeah, you made him like a Charles Manson type. It's like, that's, I think, way more interesting for a villain.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think maybe I judged their take on Carnage a little bit too early. But I'm definitely hyped to see what they're going to do with it. That whole symbiote scene was, yeah, just all hype.
Very good.
No chill. Sammy, put your headphones back on. I think we're good.
God, that must have been like a pretty fucking detailed look at the flame if we went for like 5 minutes.
All right, I'm sorry. All right.
I mean, I've played like a bit of it. I just, yeah, I haven't quite finished it.
The ending is something worth not spoiling, so I would say good on you. Because it is actually one of the better, like,
of all the things we talked about, yeah, it's definitely the side quest. You probably won't spoil the least. Now, before we get to the ending of the game, do we have anything we want to get off our chests about Spider-Man 2, other than the symbiote, obviously?
Yeah.
Mysterion missions were all right. I liked them.
Yeah.
I liked them. I thought they were fun challenges. Yeah. And I thought the actual story, if you actually listen to the audio logs, it's very important. Otherwise, you could get to the final mission and be like, what's happening? Like, I listened to the...
I was a little bit annoyed about that.
Yeah.
Like, they literally, like, you know, Bowser's like, so what happened? And then he just gives you a USB, it's just like, figure it out. It's like,
you fucking
wow,
figure it out. Right.
And then, like, they don't even let you play that, like, in the background while you're just playing the game. You just have to go. Because, like, I hadn't listened to any of them.
Yeah.
So I just had to go, like, for, like, a good 10 minutes.
I think I realized after doing, like, my 4/4/5 one, I saw, like, the play button on the collectible. I'm like, oh, I can listen to these? So I listened to them and like, oh, there's like actual plot here. There's like an actual story behind like Mysterio and the two ladies who helping him make the Mysteriums and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it does.
I would have liked it. Yeah.
I
would have preferred it if they had let you just like listen to it.
Yeah.
Then and there. Kind of like they do with the Sandman ones. Like,
yeah, it's weird. It's weird that they do it for one but not the other. But that's also actually that's a small nitpick I have that it actually drove me nuts after a while. So in the previous games, if you like have the J. Jonah Jameson, if you have the Danica cast, if you have all the other background radio, you can listen to them if you miss them. You can't do it in this fucking game. I missed so much shit where I'm like, I want to know what Jameson was gonna say. I love Jameson in these games, but like fucking he gets cut off, and it's like oh.
Yeah, they go back to it, like, if it's, like, a phone call and you're, like, doing a mission, but, like, not if it's a podcast, which is a bit annoying.
Yeah, which annoys me, because that was... I liked doing that, where in the game, if I start a story mission in the first or Miles, if you miss something, you can go, oh, there it is, and then listen to it. You can't swing around, which is annoying still. But at least I could listen to it. I can't even do that in this one. I don't know why. It's such a... just small feature that they got rid of for no reason, as far as I'm aware. It's just confusing and annoying. Just that.
It's one of those ones they could pretty easily patch back
in. I hope
in.
So.
Briefly on Mysterio, I did appreciate that they used that portal tech again, where like you just walk into through the portal and you're in Mysterio's Wonderland. That was all a bit of fun. Yeah. But as you were just mentioning, I didn't really listen to almost any of those podcast things, because the way I like to play these games is especially when I did it this time, normally I focus way more on the side content, but I wanted to get through it so I could avoid spoilers, because the internet was just fucking a mess around the release of this. People just spoiling shit left and right. So basically I'd go to the next main quest and I'd do all the shit I'd find along the way. And every time you start a combat encounter or any of the different events around town, the podcast will stop. So it was constantly starting and stopping for me. So I pretty much didn't get to appreciate any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else before we get on to the ending piece?
I think that's that's all the major side content, all that. The spider bots thing is interesting, but it requires an internet search to actually understand what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. Well, apparently this is in the same universe as Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. That I picked up on. Whoa. That I picked up on, because if you actually look at the visual design around the spider bots, it's the portals they use in that movie to like go to different multiverses. I didn't pick up on it until way later for some reason, even though I fucking love those movies.
That could just be a random visual choice that they went with, as opposed to like.
Well, because originally that's what I thought it was, but like, yeah.
It's been confirmed apparently that this is in something called like the 1048 universe, which is the same as Across the Spider-Verse, and apparently Wolverine's also going to be in the same universe. I don't fucking know.
This is 1048, 1480, or I think it's like 1480 or 1048 is Insomniac Spider-Man universe. So like the character that shows up is like, the biggest problem is, I think I explained this, is like, because I didn't know who it was, in case people care, but like I didn't know who the character was until I looked it up, and it's like, it's a character who was cut from the movie. So how am I supposed to know who this is without an internet search? It's one of those references where it's like great if you included it in the movie, but no one knows who this is.
That Cindy Moon, that one, Silk.
Well, Silk was the tease that happens at the very end of the story.
I was just like, I don't know what we're referencing specifically.
So when you collect all the spider bots, a portal opens up and it shows a lady.
Okay.
It shows this random lady.
Okay.
And it's kind of a neat
haven't done that
scene
either.
But
I'm most of the way, but not yet. But it's, also, at the same time, they have definitely been hinting. I'm just like, oh, okay,
yeah.
I see where
I'm
we're
not going to spoil exactly what happens, but it requires an internet search to know.
I can figure it out. Figure it out.
Yeah, don't get too hyped. It's very much this thing exists. So yeah. So basically, at the end, Venom is defeated, and Harry is not killed, apparently. So
when they were like gearing up to do that, I was like, either this character is going to still be dead and this is going to be pointless, or they're going to be alive and it's going to be like the biggest like cheese
bullshit.
It's
a bit of an
ass pull, just like, oh yeah, sure, he's alive now. I was like, sure, whatever. Everyone gets a fucking happy ending, piece of shit.
Well, I guess it wasn't exactly like the cheesy happy ending because it's like,
well, no,
he's alive, but barely. He's just holding
on
by a thread.
He's still got mega cancer. He's not okay.
And Harry's dad, Norman.
Oh, he mad. He angry. Just like, how could you do this? How dare you save my son? Like, okay, what the fuck do you want me to do about it, you piece of shit? Yeah. Like, fuck off.
Look, I kind of understood, you know, where he was coming from. He's like that tortured parent. His child's been given back to him with the shit totally pummeled out of him and on the verge of death. And he's like just acting purely out of emotion, and he's not acting out of logic
in
that moment.
He also lost his wife to the same disease. And like, it's also that thing
and
of like,
it's all Spider-Man's fault.
He's
got spider cancer.
God damn it. Now all I can think of is Amazing Spider-Man 2. Anyway, that's actually another thing we didn't really touch on just very quickly. Norman Osborn is fucking great in this game.
I thought he was fantastic. We got to see more Norman than we did in the first Spider-Man game, and the Norman they did show was far more interesting. We got to see the emotional side, the one that loves his son. He even has an emotional moment with Peter at one point. Super, super cool. And yeah, very much seems like they're gearing us up for Green Goblin. Like, there's a mention of some serum or something.
The G-serum.
G-serum.
Yeah, you want to hit G-spot, the Green Goblin spot.
I mean, I'm not going to say that it was very obvious that that was going to happen, but I will say that, like, you know, at the end of the previous game, I was just like, he's in a fucking tank. I know we got the symbiote there, but like,
it's really green.
He's in a tank and it's green. Like,
yeah, I think they were.
Are you sure what are we doing here?
Well, I think that was kind of meant to be the misdirect. You see the green tank and you see Harry and you go, oh, Goblin. And then it's like symbiote. It's like, oh, never mind.
Yeah.
But this one, they were like, no, it's Gobbo time.
The way it ended with this one, it's very, very, very clear that they're heading towards a Green Goblin. Like, probably, just as clear as when they show the symbiote at the very end of the first one. But yeah, it just got me hyped up for what they do narratively. And as you mentioned, Sammy, at the very, very end there, we get the little introduction of Silk, I think is the name of the character. I'm not familiar.
Cindy Moon.
Which is good, because it means that next time, like, when they have to refer to, like, the two characters, it's not just Spider-Man, other Spider-Man.
It's fun, but it is also like, wait, who?
yeah, it's a little bit confusing. I will say, I tried to make sure that I knew which one was which, so I tended to find that I was dressing Peter more in the lighter colors and Miles in the darker colors, so we could have black Spider-Man and white Spider-Man. I was just like, I just need some way to differentiate these two people that do basically the same thing and look mostly the same.
Yeah, and depending on which color, like, combinations, because, like, you can unlock a Miles suit but make it look like Peter's, so it's like, hold on, who are you again?
Oh, God.
See,
it's so confusing.
For me, like, the very first time I heard them refer to each other as Spider-Man, it was a little bit jarring. I'm like, okay, that's weird. They're both. But then when the more I thought about it, it made sense to me in their world and was also kind of sweet. Like, you know, Peter's... if Miles hears someone say, hey, Spider-Man, they, you know, and it's coming from his radio, it's most likely going to be Peter. Because they only do it when they're in public and around other people. And it kind of, you know, means that they're both on treating each other as equals as well, because they're both calling each other Spider-Man. So I kind of found it kind of sweet in that sense. And, you know, I can differentiate the voices as well, too. So it wasn't, I didn't find it confusing personally. But yeah, it will be nice to have, like, you know, hopefully in the next one, Spider-Man and Spider-Gal or whatever the fuck it is.
Silk. I mean, it was funny because even on, like, the subtitles, they'd have Spider-Man and then they'd have a little icon. Yeah. And if it was, like, the red one, it would be Peter. And if it was the black one, it would be Miles. It's just like, God, you really kind of backed yourself into a corner a little bit, maybe. What about Spider-Gay? And then the hunters would be like, it's the small Spider-Man. It's like, I'm half an inch taller. What are you talking about?
I actually did like that, yeah, where it's like, it is the smaller one. It's like, I'm taller than him.
I'm a big boy.
Do you reckon that's why his final suit has the hair coming out of the top so it makes him look a little bit taller, you know?
A little taller.
There's
the Sydney Moon one, which that was paying off something that I didn't know where that was going, where, like, earlier in the game Miles's mum was like, I've got a new boyfriend, and it's just like, who? It's like, tell me who it is. I was half expecting to be
who are you expecting
it? I was expecting to be like Norman or like Kraven in disguise, as he was be like, yes, it is I, Kraven.
I was fully expecting, you know, kind of a what fucking the first, like, Tom Holland Spider-Man thing where it's just
the,
like,
Vulture.
MJ's dad.
Yeah, where it's just like, it's the new villain. It's just like, okay, what villains haven't we done yet? It's like, okay, well, we could get Morris Bench, or we could get maybe Kingpin's back. I don't know. It's someone. Yeah. Who the hell is it? And it's just a dude.
Well, because the minute they was like, I'm Mr. It's like, please call me Mr. Moon or something. I'm like, oh.
Is it Moon Knight? it's like, nope. It's not Moon Knight.
And then he's like, here's my daughter, Cindy. And I'm like,
It was definitely one of those moments of just like, oh, it's Sydney. And it's just like, note to self, Google if that's a character that's important. Because I was like, I don't know this person just off the top of my head.
No, it's a deeper cut. I'd say it's definitely for the newer fans as well. Cindy's only been a thing, I think, for the last decade. She's been she has existed half the time I think Miles has been around. Like, she's fairly new.
I was clueless. Is it going to be Spider-Blonk?
I was one of the Googlers for sure. I had no clue, like, about who Cindy
it's going to be Spider-Blonk. And then I found out that Spider-Blonk is actually an OC character. And I was like, I guess it's not going to be that.
Okay. In the hit show, The OC, about the kids from Orange County with Misha Barton.
No,
welcome to the OC, you know, bitch.
Please tell me you know what an OC is right now.
Oh, dear.
No.
Oh, my God.
Never heard of an original character? Please do.
Original character. It's basically someone doing, like, oh, I'm going to make my own Spider-Man kind of character. Oh. And they put it online and it was so good that I was like, I'm convinced that's a comic character. But it wasn't. So I was
I'm not hip to the lingo.
No.
Yeah. Do you know about OTPs?
Jesus.
I don't fucking know. I'm trying to ascertain how much this person in front of me is a nerd now.
Fake
my
nerd.
My faith has been shaken.
Boo this man.
Look, these glasses come right off. Oh, fake nerd.
Kill him. No, I'll just run across the hall.
They're not held on by just, like, years and years of, like, dead skin or something.
Yeah, like, I can't remove my glasses. They're literally bolted into my head so they can never come off.
Yes, that's what all nerds have to go through. We know this. Now,
I was going to say, we didn't touch on the other post-credit scene, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. The Norman Octopus.
Norman and Otto. And Otto's just like, you have to deal with emotional shit now. And he's like, okay.
I did kind of like that, though. He's like, Otto, please. For all time's sake, he's like, no, fuck you. It's like, I hate you. Where he's like, my son, he's bedridden, he's sick. He's like, good.
Lol.
Yeah, good, idiot.
It didn't make a lot of sense to me why Norman would go to Otto.
No.
Like, I get, maybe Norman was thinking, he doesn't like Spider-Man. Maybe he
I think
also
that's literally what he says. He's
Spider-Man.
Like, yeah, he says something like, "We both have the same enemy, Spider-Man." He's like, and then I think Otto says something like, "Yeah, I don't need you."
Oh, and he's just like, "What are you writing? The final chapter?" I'm like, "Shut up, shut up."
I'm writing Friday the 13th, part 4, the final chapter.
That's so dumb. Yeah.
It was a Saw, the final chapter. It's happening.
Otto Octavius is going to make a book called The Final Chapter, where every chapter is a final chapter from another book. That is it. And we take over the fucking book industry from my little cell over here. I don't know. It was just very dumb. It was just very, very, very dumb. And very, like, this is a narrative and we're going to be very badass. The final chapter.
Yeah, anyway. They're laying the cheese on thick with that one, that is for sure. I think overall, I just had such a good time with Spider-Man 2, as people would have listened to the couple of episodes ago of News to Reviews. I gave it full score, full, which I have only done a couple of times. And yeah, it's probably my favorite superhero game ever made. I had such an amazing time with it. To finish us off, Sammy Deej and Anthony, we'll start with you, Sammy. What were your sort of, overall thoughts of Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, it was terrible. no, I loved it. It is like one of the best games of the year, quite comfortably. It's between this and fucking Baldur's Gate 3. Mm. But it is fantastic. The thing that I always kind of keep coming back to with this game is that the side content is so good. And if we see more of this shit from open world games, then I might be getting back into open world games, mm-hmm. because it's fantastic, because everything that you're doing, you know, it feels purposeful and it feels like you're in a world that's actually fucking alive, unlike me inside. So it's so fun to just do all these tiny little shit things because they feel so purposeful. And on top of that, the main game itself is also fucking amazing, and it's super fun to swing around and da 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 da. And I also still think Kraven's a giant fucking dork. But yeah, whatever.
And I believe, yeah, you gave it full marks on the yes. episode we recorded earlier today.
8 legs out of 1 spider.
Oh, yes.
Check the conversion rate.
Anthony, what are your final thoughts on Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, not to hold on them too much, because I have talked about it in a whole another episode. But yeah, same thing, I think, as Sammy said. It's about the quality of the side content and the main game content. Definitely, open world games need to take a note from this page. Final chapter. quality, not quantity. Don't give me 100 hours of bullshit that doesn't matter. Give me 40 hours of stuff that actually feels fun and interesting and like heartwarming and everything. Just focus your content, make a good game, and like that's all it is. It's like that. It is astounding to me that's all it really took to make this game one of the best games of the year. Is it's just clearly a lot of focus and attention was put into basically every part of the game, and it's just a great fucking game. I don't know if I could sing its praises high enough, despite spending nearly 2 total hours talking about it.
Yeah. Oh yes, yeah, I definitely wasn't expecting us to go this long. It just goes to show how passionate we are about this awesome, awesome video game. And you mentioned quality over quantity there, Anthony, and speaking of quality over quantity, where can everyone find your podcast?
Once again, you could find us where all the good podcasts are sold, your Spotify, your Amazon, your Apple. You can also hit us up on WDYTATpod over on the Twitters. Yeah, just give us a hit. What, I don't know what the kids say. Hit me up. I don't know. Whatever.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one.
Sammy Deej, where can people hit you up?
You can hit me up on the Twitter and all the things. Sammy Deej, SammyDeedge. Check out my music. Just look up Pyrite, PYRYTE. I put some stuff out recently that's horror vibes, so that's pretty cool. So yeah, and check out Discord for the Inconsolables, which is no longer running, but check it out regardless.
Yes, you'll be able to find all those links in the description of the podcast down below, as well as News to Reviews links and the links for our Movember fundraiser. Be sure, if you can, afford to donate that you do, it really helps out the Movember Foundation and all the wonderful work that they do. Sammy, I've already absorbed your wisdom earlier. Anthony, do you have any words of wisdom to leave us with for this bonus spoiler episode?
Be the person that Spider-Man thinks you can be.
That's it. Everyone out there, please be greater together. Take care of yourselves and take care of one another.
Right, now I need to go finish the fucking flame missions, eh?